We all dream. Yes, we react realistically, but we dream beyond that reality. And our dreams make us larger. We all want to be larger, and we all want to see what's beyond all horizons. I believe it's part of the human makeup, and I reflect that in my mind.
Welcome, everybody, to the Fuakata Podcast, and I'm Juan Navarro. I am trying to put all this together now and do something that everybody's been telling me to do for a long time now. Everybody's been telling me, oh, you should do a podcast, you should do a podcast, you should do a podcast. And it's funny because I did do a podcast for a little bit. I did 60 episodes, and it used to be the Chris and Juan show with a fellow writer Chris Guillen a while back. And I will probably put links on there so you can find it and all that. But that, you know, that kind of came to an end. Chris moved away. Me and him are still friends and everything. We talk every once in a while and everything. And he's out there, you know, traveling the world, seeing stuff. You know, I stayed here in Miami. Last time I talked to him, I think he was in Finland. So, you know, he's doing well. But we always talked about like trying to do it again and putting it back together. One of the things I told him that I just cannot stand, that I can't do, is Skype or over the phone interviews. I can't stand talking to people on the phone, plain and simple. I'm not big on it. I'll do it for, you know, whatever's necessary, of course. But half the time I'm just like, nope, not for it at all. I just feel like I'm not communicating with a person. I can't see them. I can't see the reactions. And then if you're on Skype, you know, those kind of podcasts, some do great. They know what they're doing. But even it's hilarious when I see podcasts that I really like Boing Boing and all these other guys. Like, they do something and you'll hear them like, what? Yeah. Chris, are you there? What? Oh, what? And so, like I was saying, and then you're like, what is that? Like, I can't stand that. Like, that just took me out of the fucking mood. I'm done. You know, I don't want to do it. So, you know, coming back around now, you know, everybody's been like, oh, when are you going to do another one? Or you should do one, or yada yada. And I was just like, all right, you know, like, I looked into it. And, you know, Amazon is a great enabler of good and bad, I think. Is it like, sometimes you'll sit there going, well, it's going to cost too much to do it. I don't know. Well, I got a good computer, you know, I'm a graphic designer, so you have to have something that's, you know, worthwhile. You go on there and you look up, you know, podcast setups or a mic or something like that. And next, you know, you find, like, the best stuff. And I'm like, oh, great. Now this is, you know, it's too cheap. It's like, why wouldn't you do it now? And so then, you know, that the material part was over with. So then it just came down to, you know, what I would ask myself. Like, who the fuck am I? And why should anybody listen to a podcast that I do? So, let me do the most narcissistic thing possible and talk about myself. So, like I said in the beginning, I'm a writer and artist. A lot of people may know me by the company that I head. Creature Entertainment is a company that I created alongside a couple of other artists and writers here, and directors and filmmakers and amazing people here in Miami. And it was started by John Ayua and Julio Alvarez. And I met up with them at literally a meetup.org thing. And we hit it off. I mean, I think it's just one of those, like, you know, smart guys, funny, cool, and a bunch of highly, you know, comic book kids. Like, we all kind of grew up on the stuff, loved the stuff, wanted to make the stuff. And, you know, even had history. I mean, John himself, you know, he had a double impact back in the day in the 90s, you know. I always mess with him that I'm like, you know, oh, you're one of the guys that ruined the comics in the 90s. And he hates that joke probably. But, you know, I do it because I just remember being a kid and seeing them under comic books in the phone book. And seeing High Impact and the address and going, holy shit, somebody's making comics in Miami. So hopefully that's what people feel like with Creature Entertainment. So I'm the editor-in-chief there and kind of the CCO, which is creative content officer, which is kind of a weird title. You're like, well, and I only adopted it because my main thing isn't so much, you know, editor sitting there saying, you know, hey, where's the dashes and apostrophes and periods and points and everything, but overall kind of looking at the feel and the look and the brand that is Creature. So that's what I kind of head up. I, you know, make sure the books are where they should be. The look is where they should be. I mean, luckily I have a lot of help. You know, a lot of people know us, and we've been doing really good for the last, like, 4 or 5 years. You know, we've been doing conventions, going out there, and you know, now recently we're in the Diamond Comics, you know, Diamond Distribution, which is the main distribution of the nationally distributed comic book company. We have, you know, a lot of good pluses going on for us right now. And I guess that could be the claim to fame that I have, that even now I'm traveling, I'm going to different Comic-Cons, I'm out there. I'm trying to sell my books, sell my ideas, sell my skills, and, you know, and get my work out there. That's what I really do. I myself work on a couple of different books. My main book being Zombie Years, which is a post-apocalyptic zombie tale that's set in Miami. You know, and I say this proudly, it is like The Walking Dead. I mean, there's some differences. There's some more fantastical things that we're developing for it. But I've done 10 issues of it now. Been doing it for 5 years, you know, so do the math right there, 10 issues, 5 years, but that's what happens when you have a full-time job and you're trying to make comics. It's a webcomic series, you can find it on zombieyears.com, but, you know, it's one thing that I'm pretty proud of, because, you know, they say, oh, it's like Walking Dead, and I'm like, yeah, it's Walking Dead with better weather, you know, I think it's fun, I think it's great, you know, for me, the other character in the story is Miami, so I needed to see something like that, and I kind of wanted to see Latin people in a horror, you know, comic book. I mean, it's not like I'm a big champion of, like, oh, everybody needs to be, but it was just like, either we're the smartest motherfuckers in the world, or we're the dumbest ones, because you never see Latin people in it. Either we got away, or we were the first to die. So, you know, Zombie Ears was something that I think I could do, you know, maybe later on I'll do a whole episode, especially when I come back to it with issue 10. I might do a whole episode and talk about and get into. The other book I'm currently doing right now is Tommy, which is a story about a little boy with an imaginary friend, and he finds out his imaginary friend's a serial killer. That was something we put together. That was me and John Ayua one day just talking shit. And it's one of those, like, great ideas that come out from sitting with your friends and drinking beer and talking shit, and boom, you have this great comic in your hand. And we just, you know, I've been drawing it since then. It, you know, I'm finishing up with issue 3. Issue 3 is going to finish the first arc. We are planning to do more. We're kind of just trying to see what we do next. But it is a morbid story. It is kind of weird. It's funny because that little tagline, kid with imaginary friend, imaginary friends and service. Like, there's people that will light up to that, and other people that are totally repulsed. But, you know, you learn. Not everything's not for everybody, you know. Some people dig the book, and some people don't. But I'm really proud of it. I think it's a badass book. I think it's really fun and awesome. And I've never really... I think I had louder fans on Tommy than I do Zombie Years. So I hopefully will be finishing up that book come April for Orlando MegaCon, so that's something I'm going to be at and everything else. I'll post stuff at the end and everything after I put all this together. So yeah, those are the two books I'm active on right now. The other thing I'm working on is Rez, story about a detective who has access to his past lives and solves crimes like that. We just did a Kickstarter for it last year, and it did really well. I got the first issue out. I'm still sending stuff out for the Kickstarter. I know, people, don't beat me. Don't beat my ass, but, you know, again, full-time job, all that other crap. And, you know, now I have some time, but we'll talk about that later. And so, yeah, it's you know, those are the three books I'm active on. I used to do a book called Vigil for GraphicSmash.com, which is now gone, unfortunately. Headed up by the beautiful, beautiful, awesome Joey Manley, who was a great fucking help to me. You know, our rest in peace. And it was one of those really, you know, cool... That was, like, in the 2000s. Like, that was... They came up to me, you want to make comics, you want to put it on a website. And I was just like, okay, whatever the fuck I can put it at. Because by then, I was doing what used to be called APAs, which is Amateur Press Associations, and there used to be one called Networks APA. And I was on there, and what you do was, if once you're part of this group, there might be, I think at that one time there was like 19 of us on there, but I don't think everybody participated. But the whole thing is, like, if there was like 14 of you in this APA group, this is just beginning internet. Like, this is still dial up. This is still fucking AOL. This is still, you know, like, just fucking, you've got mail and fucking fax noises and shit. When you got together and you're over this, and it would be through email or through bulletin boards, and you would say, you know, oh, we're going to do a new issue. This is the due date. This is what you got to do. There will be one central place. And let's say there's 14 of you. So let's say you had to do like a minimum, like 3 pages or 4 pages or something. You say, I'm going to do 4 pages of comics or something, or whatever you wanted to do. Then you would do your 4 pages, and then you had to make, if there's 14 of you, 14 copies. And you did these 14 sets, and you sent them off to this one central place. So everybody would do that. So you had like 14 people doing 4 pages, you know, do the math right there. That's what, 56 pages or something like that. You know, once we had, you know, all of those people in one place, you know, they send them in one place, they would staple them, put them together, bind them like a zine, and then they would put a cover on it, and then they would send it back out to everybody. And yeah, you paid the postage, you paid your own photocopies, one person volunteered to put it together. And so then what you got back was this cool book made up of everybody's stuff. And that was like a way of sharing your comic book work and sharing what you're doing. And I think that was the real stem for me, you know, keeping my comics going and getting into Graphic Smash and keep going and making comics. Before that, I went to Savannah College of Art and Design. I wasn't there the whole time. I was only there for like about a year or almost two, and then I left. It was a family thing. It was like unfortunately my father fell ill, and I had to help take over the business, and they couldn't afford it anymore, but I kept going to school. I ended up at New World School of the Arts and through the University of Florida program, getting my graphic design degree. Did graphic design for a while. I did a bunch of different jobs. I've worked a lot of different things and made a lot of cool connections because of it. But comics were always a constant. They were always back there. It's one of those things, like, you know, it's a classic. I've been drawing since I was 5. I hate that fucking story. Like, every time, how did you get into, like, yeah, I was drawing since I was 5, everything that I could hold up in. Yeah, it was one of those, you know. I was one of those kids that just drew all the time. I always liked having my head in a book or a notebook and making up stuff, you know. I could never just have, like, He-Man, you know. If I had He-Man and G.I. Joe, then, you know, somehow one of the G.I. Joes became like a Hulk-like guy, and he changed into He-Man, and that's how he, you know, it went past what they were, and then they had their own names for it, so I was always creating something. And then I went to some really good magnet programs that were for kids to kind of get their juices flowing and getting into drawing. My brother got me into that. My brother was already going to one for acting, and he got into drama and everything else. And then my brother saw that there were art kids there, and they had these black books, and they had their sketchbooks and this and that. And he just saw my ass, you know, on the floor with a notebook drawing. He says, well, you want to do this? And I'm like, yeah. Next thing you know, I'm plunging away, really getting into it, drawing all the time, trying to do as much as possible. Him pushing me the whole time. And after a while, I took off. I was, like, on my own. And then, luckily, I had some amazing teachers that, you know, fucking lifted me. I mean, as much as I could do a whole episode about how shitty some teachers are, I could tell you about all the teachers that got me out. You know, like, as many that took me down a bad road, there were so many that lifted me up. And luckily, there was a guy named Robert Lorcher, this huge red-headed Viking motherfucker. That was an awesome art teacher, and he, like, believed in me and helped me and pushed me and stuff. So I was that kid with those black sketchbooks, like a weird fucking black sketchbook always under his arm, full of different shit. I was always shoving stuff in there. I was painting. I was always doing stuff. But my original thing was comics. Like, I would sit there and copy McFarlane's, you know, Spider-Man. Like, I would sit there and it's so funny because now I look back, it's like issue 300 of Spider-Man and like 290. Like, fuck, why did I, you know, why did I draw on top of those? Why did I stick them in my sketchbook like an asshole? Should have been nicer with them. But, you know, those were the issues blew my mind. And a lot of those guys at that time, and that was right before the Image explosion in comics and everything else, that blew my mind. And so I was just, you know, I was constantly copying them and everything else. Went to art school, learned about fine art. And after a while, you know, I kind of left comics. It's not like I didn't do it. I was always drawing stuff. I was always drawing D&D characters that we would play and drawing this and that. But it was, you know, more along the lines of like, all right, cool. You know, I'm like going to go be a fucking artist. I'm going to be a painter. And I liked it. I dug it. And there was stuff that I would see on occasion that would make me go, oh, shit, you know. That, you know, you could still do comics and do it in a different way. You know, if you ever pick up, you know, Havoc and Wolverine Meltdown, you know, by Kent Williams, or, you know, I mean, I think I did a whole Facebook post about, like, comics that influenced me, and Justice Incorporated by Cal Baker. I mean, that was amazing to me, because I was like, oh, shit, that's different, you know? But there wasn't enough of those, and I wasn't kind of totally convinced, and I felt like it's still painting, it's still this other way of making art, so I'll just keep doing it. And then I went to art school, and then I got kicked out of, like, the best art schools, like, the best art magnet programs, you know, out there, because I was a rebellious little fuck with a MetroPass, which is, like, the worst thing you can give to a kid ever. So when they gave it to me, it's like, you know, oh, go to school or go to the beach. You know, go to school or hang out by the water with your girlfriend and draw. I mean, that's the thing. Like, my art classes, I had A's and A's and A's. But then it's like everything else is like, holy shit. Like, I would skip school all day and just come back to do the art class. Like, that's how I would, that's how bad I was. So, you know, that just did not end well for me, you know. So after I got back to regular high school, I still was pursuing art. I was still going into portfolio days, which is where all these art colleges come and show your stuff. And you show your portfolio and they consider you. I would go as a sophomore. As a freshman, I would go. Just so they can know who I am and see my work and see what's going on. That's how ambitious I was. I would do that, and after a while, you know, I was in regular high school. I was in a band with my friends. I was fucking around. I was skipping school. Again, I kept eating shit because I thought that was more better. But it's funny because I was like, skip school to go to the library and, like, read about Nietzsche. Or, you know, well, you know, go read some Kurt Vonnegut books or something. Like, I wasn't, you know, skipping class to be cool and not do shit. I would go home and draw. You know, I would be doing paintings and art and everything else. So I think it was like a little kismet sometimes. And I think I remember at that time, people were talking about it. I had kind of heard about it. And I had been a fan of some stuff that was related to it. But there was originally it was a cartoon series that came out called The Max. And it was based on Sam Keith's amazing fucking comic book. That's the thing that got me back into comics. That's the thing that, you know, after, you know, going back to the McFarlane thing and everything else, I mean, I love that stuff, but, you know, the comics are coming out all weird, and then you couldn't find everything, and then the other artist picked it up, and I was into Larson, but I wasn't into Liefeld, and there was a bunch of different stuff going on, so you didn't know what you were doing, and I was, you know, and all of a sudden I was just like, you know, at that time it was like the worst X-Men comics were coming out. A lot of them were just shit. I mean, it was always the same story. I just wasn't into comics. So when I found this, and I remember it was like a Specs record store, because I used to just hang out in record stores all the time. When I was in a Specs record store, and they told me, and somebody had shown me images of the Max, and I go, oh, cool, it looks like Von Bode. It has that Frank Frazetta fucking flavor to it. It has a lot of this kind of funky graffiti style to it. I remember I had a girlfriend at the time, and she was the one who kind of pushed it on me, and I go, cool. And then I kind of went looking around, and I was at Specs looking for an album, and I look over, and they had a comic book rack of all fucking thing there. And I started spinning through it, and then I picked up Spawn, which I had read the first issues of Spawn, but I wasn't into it. By then, it was like on issue 38 or 40 or something like that. I don't know what the fuck it was. You know, the Max is already on issue 9, and I just, fuck it, all right, let me pick them up. And I remember one of the first things I noticed was I think the comics were like $2 or something, and I was like, what the fuck? When did this happen? Like, that's a little expensive, you know? And, you know, then I started shoplifting the fucking things out there. I bought a couple of copies, went home and read them, and I just got fucking back into comics again. And I remember the girlfriend I had at the time, she like, recorded episodes on VHS of the Max, because I didn't have cable. My dad was never into cable or any of that shit. So I was like, all right, fuck, you know, we gotta see how we do this. And so, like, then, you know, we recorded, we put it, you know, I saw it, and I was fucking blown away. Again, throw me right back into comics. Now I was like, all right, I got a fever, you know? And the only thing that's going to stop this is comics. And I started making comics again. I started drawing stuff and I came up with characters. And Vigil was originally that. I created it in high school. It's one of those classic, like, high school superhero stories in a book kind of thing. And I did it for a while and I tried to get it out. And I did zines. And I had a table at one time at Orlando MegaCon. I think when it was still called Comic-Con. And I, you know, I was busting my ass. And now I just kept making comics. And I'm here now, independently publishing books with my friends nationally, on a national level. So that's, you know, at least a good 15 years of working there. A lot of ins and outs. I went and did other things. I was a graphic designer. I was an art director at different places. I worked at an airline. I was a ground crew for airplanes for a while and handled luggage. I mean, I did a lot of different stuff. I ran the family business. I lived and worked in a bunch of different places, you know. But it's funny because all throughout, I was always back there with doing comics. That was always the thing. So then, you know, I guess, you know, the next segment of this podcast should be, all right, now we know who you are. Now, why should we listen to you? The only thing I can say is this. I really don't know if I'm going to make anything more of this podcast than about comics and art and entertainment and the stuff that I like. And I'm going to tell you the stuff I like and the stuff I find interesting and the stuff I find cool. But by the other side of it, I'm going to impart with you all the shit I'm learning. I've learned a lot in 5 years making comic books. I've learned a lot in the last 10 years in graphic design. I've learned a lot in the last 15 years doing business in so many different ways. And I've learned a lot just by the life I've lived. I think a lot of people, I always kind of shut my mouth up about everything I've gone through or done because I don't ever want to be some kind of blowhard like, oh, I did this and I did that. But I think when people find out and they hear it, they're like, oh, what the fuck? And it's not that I did anything out of this world. I just never really said no to stuff. I never really, you know, I always appreciated everything and took it to the fullest. I still have a lot to go, but I think I can impart and give you and tell you and answer you a lot of the things that I'm finding now. I think I've seen a lot of it. I've done a lot of it, and I'm doing it now. So I'm more than open to your questions. I'm more than open to what you guys think. And I hope I can be like a service to you. I hope if you're like, you know, just like some podcasts do for me, they're the ones that while I'm sitting there putting ink on a page and by myself in a room, I can be that voice that's there with you guys, entertaining you. And so, you know, in the reciprocity and just the being reciprocal and giving back, you know, I can be there with you guys too. I have always had this philosophy, and it's something that I've pushed for a long time with Creature Entertainment and in my own personal life and everything else. And it's like classic, I don't know. I mean, I know somebody will be like, that quote's from here. But that classic, you know, it's better to have an open hand than a closed fist. You know, I always think it's better for us to be cool with each other and help each other and bring each other up than tearing each other down. I did that for years. I was an asshole for a long time as a recovering asshole. I was a motherfucker. And I was, there was a lot of times I was like mean and harsh to people when I really shouldn't have. And I'm noticing it now that I think people see that as a sense of strength, and it's not. And I don't know. I don't know if there's a really big kind of weird vein in me of rebellion sometimes. And anytime I see a certain thing, when I see people pointing a certain way, I want to always just say, fuck it, I'm not going that way just because everybody else is. And when I see it, I think the best rebellion right now to do is to be kind. That no matter what's going on in this world, no matter how hard it is, you know, say, fuck you, I'm not going to be controlled by that. Instead, I'm going to rebel and I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to be a good person to others and I'm going to help them. And I think that would be a very cool thing if that one thing I can impart into the universe that everybody gets to see now and all that would be, you know, that idea of like, let's rebel and be cool to everybody. And I'm not saying there's not motherfuckers out there that don't need a shank in between the ribs. I'm totally Totally for that. There's some people that need to be kicked in the fucking face and kicked hard. But before you do that, open hand, you know, and try to reason and talk to them and see what you can bring about with them. I think there's a lot more that can be done there. And I think in my life it's kind of proved it, because there's a lot of people that will tell me, oh, so-and-so's a motherfucker. This guy's a piece of shit. Oh, that guy's evil. And I'll just sit there going, wow, they're not like that with me. They're really cool with me. I have no problems with them. They're just, wow, shit. Like, I'm like, wow, I didn't know that about them. And I think it's because I've never allowed people to mistake my kindness for weakness. It's the opposite. This is me being fucking as strong as possible to help you and to get out there. And with that in mind, that's what I tell you guys. You know, if, you know, I'm going to continue this, and I'm going to try to do it a weekly podcast, and I'm going to try to kind of answer questions, and I'm going to try to, like, talk about different stuff. And mostly it's going to be about, you know, comics, you know, geek stuff, film, art, entertainment, philosophy, politics. I think if for the people that know me and have met me and see me at all the different cons and all the bullshit, you know what the kind of things I start screaming about, especially when I'm outside smoking a cigarette or something. You know, for my friends and stuff like that, you know the kind of crap I'm always like, brr, you know. So I think I'm just trying to instill that and put that down on digital and put it out there for people to hear. And hopefully, like, you know, it'll resonate and you guys will dig it, and I can, you know, accompany you wherever you guys are going. And vice versa, you know, maybe, you know, you guys can help me make this really cool too. I want it to be, you know, a community project. I want you guys to tell me what's up. So that's the who, what, where, why, I guess. And that's what I'm going to be aiming for. I think this might metamorph. It might change. It might do different things. But either way, I think it's going to be cool, because I think we can all just kind of take this ride together and do something really cool. And I won't be so fucking bored at home. And let me know what's up. You can always reach me. The website's going to be fwakata.com, fwakata.com. And you might say, well, what the hell's Fwakata? What is that? Fwakata is just like a little, I guess, slang kind of term that we Cubans use in Spanish. Like, if two cars are about to crash and then they hit each other, Fwakata! And, oh man, this guy was talking, and then he thought he said some shit, and this guy was like, what the fuck? And then he takes a swing at him, Fwakata! And he's on the floor. And that's the kind of thing that we do. You know, it's sound effect. Like, blam, broom, pow. And I use that for myself because, to me, I am a Cuban, Mexican, and what have you. That's my background. I am an American, but no matter what, I'm an American. But I am Cuban in my background, and that's my culture. But I'm also a comic book geek, so I wanted to put those together. You know, I wanted for people. So what better than a Cuban sound effect? But yeah, that's something that, you know, you can always find me at. So fwakata.com, F-W-A-C-A-T-A. And also you can reach me at Secret Media Group. That's going to be the working email now. Probably going to make an email for the podcast. It's all one word, @gmail.com. That's like my working, like, email. Like, if you need to get, like, I guess, you know, that's the best way to get in touch with me. I will say this, it might take me a while to get back to you, but I will get back to you, because that's what I do. And, hopefully, you know, I think this is going to be something cool that we can all, like, kind of powwow and put together and, you know, I don't know. I think it's going to be fun. I'm kind of glad of this. This is like my second run at trying to do something by myself, and it came out pretty cool. I feel like I imparted something. I got rid of something. We're all healing together. Yay. And hopefully, you know, it sounds good, right? I mean, amazing. It didn't even cost me this much. It's like $70 on Amazon, and I got a good mic and everything. I thought it was going to be like, oh my God, 300. It sounds good. So let me know, guys, know what's up. I will try to make this weekly, I think, on Thursdays, and I will be updating weekly. I don't know for sure, and maybe it's the best. I might move it around. You guys let me know. So this is Juan Navarro, and I'm signing off. And you guys, be good to each other, and don't be a dick. Later.